If you have a Bible, you might want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I want to speak on entering into the better life, the last of the series of Living the Adventure. And so I've put together this message thinking that things that we understand, the things that really help us in our life need to be taught. And this is one of the truths that has really made a difference in my heart, and that is living by the life of the Lord, not living my own strength, and that's an ongoing lesson for me, but I trust I can make something real to your own heart here this morning. So I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, what Paul's letter, what he described about what was important to these Christians at Ephesus. For this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of which He's called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ, whom He raised from the dead and seated Him at His right hand and in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, and not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him His head over head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Would you bow your heart with me here this morning? Father, I can talk, but I can't make truth real. I pray that You would open our hearts, that truth would be real here this morning. And I pray, God, that someone would receive 100-fold or maybe more from this message this morning. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most necessary things in the whole world to have, and that is a spirit of wisdom. Paul's praying for these Christians that they would get it, that they would have a wisdom about who the Lord is and how His life works in our lives. A spirit of revelation, he goes on to describe. So wisdom, revelation, that the Lord would reveal Himself to us, that we would know more and more about, again, His workings in our heart and our life. The wisdom, revelation, in the knowledge of Him. And then he says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Eyes in my heart, yeah. That's what has to happen. I have to have an illumination that would make the word of the Lord real and real, increasingly more real to me all the time. And the immeasurable greatness of His power towards those who believe. So he's saying, this is what I want you to know. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to have revelation. I want you to have knowledge. And I want you to experience the power of the Lord in your life. So I imagined things as I was preparing this. Imagine Jesus personally communicating, personally monitoring every moment of His life within us. In other words, Jesus comes to live inside of us that we might live by the life of God. You see, it's one thing to know Jesus as Savior. And I guess that's a starting point in many ways, to know Him as Savior. But for many, that's all they've ever experienced. And it's one thing to know Him as Lord, which I think is a good thing too. And many have experienced that, but no more. But what I'm suggesting this morning is that you can experience the life of the Lord. The actual life of Jesus, of Him communicating and monitoring that life within us. 2 Corinthians 6:19 is an interesting verse where he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is of God and not of you. It's of the Lord. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. Within you. So the Spirit of God comes and lodges deep, deep, deep within my heart so that that life of God that's come to reside in me, right? The Zoe life, this divine life that's come within, it's come so that God would express Himself through me and through you. So God wants us to live out His own love in us. And he wants you to know about that have insight on that, how that works. So here's the possibility of unbroken communion with Jesus personally. Day in, day out, communing and having him commune with us just as part and parcel of our life. So we must give ourselves to the power and working of the Holy Spirit so that that could happen as an ongoing day-to-day, everyday thing. So in other words, how does that happen? How does it happen that the Lord would be more than a Savior, more than Lord, but he'd be life? How does that work on a day-to-day thing? Well, I suggest there's two things. What we need are two things. Number one, faith that he is in us and that he will do a divine work. I guess maybe that's the best way to put it. That he's in us. That's the first thing. If you're going to experience New Testament life, if you're going to experience the life of Jesus and this great power working in us that Paul talks about, one thing has to happen. You have to believe that God's in you and that he's working something in you. That he's in us and will do a divine work in teaching us and sanctifying us. It's kind of funny. If somebody kept coming to the altar every Sunday and said, I would just like to get saved. And so we pray a sinner's prayer. Then, Lord, I invite you into my heart. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising for me. I give you my whole life. I belong to you now. Next Sunday, he comes again. Finally, we would stop that person. Says, you know, a little hint here. You don't have to do that every Sunday. Once was probably enough. And we would correct it. My point is, we would say, no. And yet it's funny how we don't correct people who are constantly trying to get sanctified by their own strength. We would say, no, you know, it's something that God does automatically for me. So we must by faith believe that when Jesus comes to live inside you, providing he has, when he comes to live inside of you, he's come to mind his own business. He's come to set up his own shop. He's come to live his life through us, and he will do the teaching and the sanctifying, just as your salvation was nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with Christ. Right? You got in on a free thing, but you didn't have to do anything, nor do you have to do anything to become sanctified, to go that next level of just knowing him, but actually experiencing his life. It's a matter of it's faith that he's in us. That he's working in me right now. Right now, I believe, by the way, I believe that God is working stuff in me, that this Sunday's not a wasted day. He's working stuff in me already. And the same with you, doing a divine work and sanctifying it. So that's the first thing is faith. The second thing is there has to be a quiet waiting to realize his presence. So whether we're driving our car or whether we're going for coffee or we're going to something difficult with our banker, you've got to talk to that banker, not sure what you're going to say. So this quiet waiting to realize his presence, to hush our own thoughts, and to give him opportunity to take possession of us. So many, many times through the course of a day, I find myself doing exactly that, just pausing and saying, Lord, I just thank you for your life within me. And I thank you as I go into that situation that you're already doing something here. I just wait on you. I just thank you, God. It's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Thank you for the treasure in the earthen vessel. So as I pause to do that, then I can be assured that I will be drawing from the life of the Lord. And as you do that as a day in and day out, you will see a tremendous difference in your own life. This is a better way of living. That's what I'm suggesting, a better way of living. So we must die to our own will to enter and live in God's will. That's what he wants. So to simply depend utterly on the Lord to use us as his channel of blessing. By the way, the reason that he comes and plants the Spirit of God deep within us. This is not a surfacey thing. Deep within us. And as an abiding gift, the Spirit of God lives in me. And as I draw strength from him every day, as you draw strength from him every day, we enter into the better life, the life that wins, the abundant life. Looking to him, first of all, by faith that he lives in me, and number two, by waiting on him just so that I can recollect, I can just pause and say, Lord, I was handling this in my own strength. I just surrender that over to you. Very, very powerful, very extremely powerful way to live. So he fills us with the blessed assurance that he, the everlasting God, has guaranteed his own work in us. There's my point I'm trying to make, I guess, is that I believe that God has guaranteed us to do the work. This is a done deal. The finishing work in my life, the adventure that I'm on in him, God, it is God who works all in all. So that we must simply believe that it's God who's working out your salvation. The problem is that many people don't believe that. They don't believe God's working out their salvation. So that's why they're trying to work it out. And the minute you realize that, Philippians, for example, people say, well, it says here to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I say, absolutely. Providing you read the next verse. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. The reason I can work it out is because he's worked it in. And that working, so you have to be convinced that God's working out your salvation right now. That he's doing that. That's his department. It was his department to save you. It's his department to sanctify you, to make you complete, to make you holy. You know, there's nothing worse than living beside someone who thinks they're holy. This is not a trying thing. This is a thing, Lord, thank you, that I don't have to try and be holy, pretend I'm holy, look holy. I am holy because you're working a work in me, and I believe it. I'm just dumb enough to believe it, that that's how it works, that he will do that work. Well, good luck to the rest of you who think that you can do a better job than that, because I don't think you'd ever be able to do it. It's just, it's a life lived in his strength and his power. So, you and I do God's work outside. Then he does his work inside. I'll come back, I'll touch on that more in just a couple of moments. So, God's working out something. You know what it is? The image of his son. That's what his goal is. So that we become increasingly like Jesus in our attitudes, in our conduct. So God's working out the image of his son in us. And I ask the question, can God not work out in me the purpose of his love? I think he can. I believe he can. So not one minute of your life should be without God. Every moment. He's there by the power of the Spirit, and he's working out in me the purpose of his love. God must be in every moment the worker in your soul. He must be the one who's working. Somebody's working here. It'll either be God or it'll be you. And I'm saying, James, this life that wins, this better life is a life where we look to the Spirit of God to live it for us day by day. Number one, by faith, believing he's working in us. And number two, by waiting on him, that work would be realized. See, all truth, folks, is appropriated. Truth, it doesn't mean it. There will be all kinds of truth flying around here. It won't make a bit of difference for you until you appropriate it. You say, I'm going to make that mine. All mine, all mine. FM, for me, all mine. AM, AM and FM. Either for me or all mine. That's how you claim it. Now, Lord, let me believe that I am your child and that the Father in Christ through the Holy Spirit has set his love upon me that I may abide in his presence, as John 15 talks about. He said, you abide in me and I will abide in you. Not frequently, but unceasingly. In other words, the veil has been rent. The holiest of all has been opened. And by the grace of God, I have to take up my abode there in the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God. So my home is always in the abiding love of the Father in heaven. That's the better life. And it's a new way of living. And so I ask this question. Do you know this truth? What truth? That God loves to dwell in you. He loves to dwell in you. That's what he loved to do more than anything else in the whole world, is just dwell in you, dwell in me. And when I realize that he chooses me to live his life in me and through me. See, the point of it is that I am to reflect that love back out. As every morning, as I get up and you get up, we have a duty to do, and that's to make ourselves happy in God. Right? Say, thank you, Lord, that no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm seeing, no matter what my ears hear, what my eyes see, I thank you, God, you're living within me. I bless you. I praise you. Lord, by faith, I believe you're working out my salvation. It's not for me getting up. Imagine if I go and say, well, I'm heading out. What? This grim business of escape in hell. You know, it's going to work out my salvation. Got to struggle. Got to become more like Christ. Got to do this. And, well, good luck. Yeah, good luck. Thank you. I'll need it. Come back. How was it? Oh, it was worse than I thought. Oh, I'll tell you, this life's not an easy life to live. What? I said, what? Don't you know that God loves to dwell in you? To live his life from out of you, and that love would flow? Andrew Murray says that we should increasingly become a fountain of love to people. That as I believe that he lives in me, and number two, as I wait on him, that God let your love flow out so you meet your neighbor who's cantankerous, and all of a sudden you realize that as you've yielded to the Lord, you went over and dealt with that neighbor with joy in your heart because you didn't have to worry. It was God was going to do that through you. And I've experienced that hundreds and hundreds of times, that as I just allow the Lord to be the one on the throne looking after all the things that have to do with me. So you and I do God's work outside, and God alone can do his work inside. And so I say, Lord, do your work inside of me. Just do your work inside of me. And then when I step out, see, what the point is, when we leave here, just in a few minutes, when we go to the patio of some coffee and we all head out, you see, the Spirit of the Lord is in us. Paul says, he said, you have a treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power would be of God and not of us. So we're going out here not trying to be this or trying to be godly or trying to be holy or trying to be Christ-like. We're not doing anything of the sort. At least we ought not to be. The reason why we've come here together is so we can pause and reflect to make sure that, A, that we believe that God, the Spirit dwells in us, and secondly, that we'd wait on him in a surrender. It's the surrender that makes the difference. I think in the Christian life there is maybe one big surrender and then millions of little surrenders. But today, coming over here, I surrender. Say, aren't you surrendered? What do we pay you for? Well, you're not paying me to surrender, but I get what you're saying. I mean, no, I think I leak. Where I surrendered and was filled with the Spirit, now I need afresh today to check in with God. And that's how we come together here, because the life of the Lord leaves with us, right? And even in a way, when people say, oh, I hope the Holy Spirit moves at Valley Church this morning. Well, it will only move as much as you release him. The Holy Spirit's not hiding behind the piano, right? So we can just get him to come out. And no, we bring the Spirit with us. That's why all we have to do is open our hearts. But many people don't open their hearts. They're sitting there and looking around, but they're not entering in and allowing the Spirit of the Lord who dwells in us to fill the sanctuary as he fills us. And then we go out of here, and with that same thing in mind, saying, Lord, I can't do this, but you can do this through me. So I thank you. By faith, I believe you're working out every part of my salvation. And I just look to you. I look to you, and I trust you to do that. So God, we do the work outside, but God alone can do his work inside. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes Christianity can be about 3,000 miles wide, but about half an inch deep. But I think what we're really responsible for, I'm not responsible for the breadth of it. I'm responsible for going deep, to go deep in the Spirit of God. And the telltale sign will be is that there will be fruits of that Spirit evident in my life. But I'm to go deeper. Now, a crazy thing is, though, and I've been in charismatic Pentecostal circles all my life, is a lot of stuff is so fluffy and silly that it's like a tickle instead of a deep, deep work. When you read Andrew Murray and Oswald Chambers and a host of any others that we've all plugged into, you know it's the same thing. It's a deep work of the Spirit of God. It's not some surfacey thing. It's not a little giggle and a tickle. It's not just somebody hooping and hollering. It is a deep work that must be done. Thank you, Lord, that you love to dwell in me. And I believe that moment by moment that the Holy Spirit of God is deep within me. Deep within me. So I'm responsible for the depth of my growth. Lord, I want to go deeper in you. I want to surrender more to you. And God will be responsible for the breadth of it. How far will your influence be? How far will your ministry go? Don't worry about it. Let the Lord worry about it. You worry about the Lord just taking you deep in the Spirit of God. So we trust his beloved Son, whom the Father has given to be and to do in me what he asked you to be and to do. So what I'm saying is that there are things that God wants done. That's no doubt about that. So I don't have a problem yielding it to that. But I must trust the Lord to do what God wants to be done. There are things that he wants done. So we place ourselves before him. That's what we just place ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. And I want my life to count. So I say, Lord, here I am. I just surrender to you. That's my job. That's your job. That's what we do. And we rest in entire dependence upon him. And he's all the things that require to be and to do in my life, God's prepared to do that. He's prepared to take up that job. So, again, my job is to believe and to trust. God's job is to do it. And I don't worry about it again. Don't worry about it. The other day I was thinking about it. I said, have I moved in my life? Is there growth in my life? But that's not the healthy thing to do. That's too self-introspective. We place ourselves before Him, just rest in entire dependence. It doesn't matter. The point is, as I yield myself, that's what will make the difference on this great adventure, as I yielded myself. So neither man, nor self, nor devil can harass you if you give up all for Him. See, there are people who say, you know, the devil's chasing me or the devil's after me. And I say, well, I know one thing then. You need to yield more. The devil cannot stand up to a yielded person. That's the issue. If I've been giving consent and permission to the enemy through an unsurrendered life, of course the devil will be after you. But he has no power. Man has no power once we've given up all for the Lord. Self has no power. The devil can harass you. He can't harass you. You know, people say, well, brother, you must have the devil after you all day, brother. You're a leader. You must have the you know, surprisingly not. Why? Because I want to be yielded to the Lord. You are a great threat to the spirit, to the kingdom of darkness by being yielded. That's all it is. Lord, I yield to myself completely. Let there not be one thing in my heart that's not right. And so, if you give up all for Him, He powerfully does a work, just powerfully, powerfully, powerfully does a work within that man nor self nor devil can harass you. Now, is that not worth something? That's a life worthwhile living, that we have authority by being yielded to the Lord. So He's taken up His own training into His own hands. I believe I'm in training. You're in training. Here we are. We're in training. We're in training for the throne. We're in training for the kingdom. We're all kind of training. But you know, the good thing about that is that He's taken His own training into His own hands. He said, I'll train you. Don't worry about that. Just yield to me. Keep appropriating this stuff to your heart. And I start finding out that He does. He takes responsibility for His own training. How good is that? God, you're willing to do that? He said, yes, I will. I've started a good work. I will do a good work in you. So we may depend on Him to make us what He wants us to be, right? Whatever He wants us to be, that's what He'll do. But all He needs from me is to believe that He's at work in me, right? Do I believe that the Spirit of God, that mighty working that Paul talks about in Ephesians 1, that mighty working towards us who believe, do I believe that He's at work in me and that He's going to continue it on? Starting point. Second thing is to yield, to wait on Him. And that can be throughout the day or can be generally. But I'm just saying is that this is a powerful, powerful way to live once we understand it. So this better life is the best life. There's no life like it. No life like it. And if you tell me, say, well, we should all share formulas for growth. Folks, there aren't any formulas for growth. There's only Christ working in us. Right? There's Christ working in us. That's the thing that has that. And so, as I say, Lord, thank you for working in me to will and do of your good pleasure. Oh, by the way, that would be a good verse to turn to. The book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. And chapter 1, I'll break in at verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, that you are making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. See, I want to finish well, as you do. I'm sure you want to finish well. But I realize that's not my department. My department is to turn to the one who says, you'll finish well if you let me finish you. Right? So I'm going to finish you so you can finish well. So he takes responsibility for his own training. He's begun a good work. I can remember 25 years ago, Benny, who Hechinova, many of you know who he is, and Tracy Ryland used to sing that song. that he that hath begun a good work in you. And we used to sing that until we were in tears. We loved that song so well. But it's a powerful, it's about surrender. That he's begun a good work in me. Do I believe that? See, that's the matter. I can tell you how well you will do in this Christian life. I can predict it. I can prophesy over almost every one of you here. Number one, do you believe that God's mightily at work in you? That he's come in by his Holy Spirit deeply, deeply into you? This is not just some little thing. He came in by the power of the Spirit. Don't you know, Paul says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. In you. That's everything. That's not something. That's everything. And so that's the first thing I can tell. And secondly, if you have waiting moments throughout your day where you say, Lord, here's, I give the day over to you, my life, my heart, my everything over to you, then I know that you will do really, really well. I just know it. Because that's how it works. It's God at work in us. And out of that will flow the love of the Lord. More love will flow, more love. You see, when I get to be elderly, whatever that age is, eh? When I get to be elderly, I do not want to be how I see some elderly people. And that is that they're cantankerous, they're critical, they're negative. And what other one could I say? I remember one guy in our church years ago, he used to stand up and he would say this, and he'd say, what he meant to say was, I've been on the road for 25 years. But what he said was, I've been in the road for 25 years. And that was more accurate. It was more accurate. The most difficult person I've ever seen was a born-again, spirit-filled, hand-clapping, water-walking Christian. I said, I don't get that. How could that be that your wife can't even stand you? How is that? How is that? What's at work, you see? So how does that happen? So it's because he's not allowed the working of the Lord. He's been on the road for 25 years, but 1 year multiplied by 25. And so I'm simply saying, I don't want to be like that, but I will be unless I let the Lord do a complete work in me, that I believe that he is shaping me, that when I am elderly, I will be sweet and gentle and kind and caring by the Spirit of the Lord coming out, right? The life coming. Oh, by the way, and that there will be anointing and power. See, because if you allow the Lord to take over more and more of you as he's coming residence, is that there is an anointing on you that even when you speak into somebody's life, you know, though the outward man may be perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day by day by day. This is a progressive thing. And that when you pray for somebody, it doesn't matter if you're 85, you pray for them, the life of the Spirit of God will come through you to that person and will touch that person, and they'll be wiping away tears. And you say, what is that? Or taking authority. I remember a guy in my life back in Regina days. Oh, my goodness. When this guy prayed, it was a joy to hear him pray because the life of the Lord was flowing out of him to people. Even when he prayed. Because it wasn't, he had died to self, that the life of the Lord would come forth. And love would come forth, and more love, and more love, and more love. That's the test of it, isn't it? That we increase in love. And that's how this great adventure is an adventure that the Lord says, I want to take you deeper. Oh, and I want to take you deeper than you've ever been. And so I said, I don't know. I remember the last time I said that, I didn't enjoy all of it so much. I can see God working in it, but it wasn't. So finally I said, no, Lord, what must matter is that the life of the Lord must be in me, coming out from me. And that you will undertake my entire sanctification. Right? I'm not going to try to. I'm just going to be. And all the things that you want me to be and everything you want me to do, that's your department. I give them to you. Can you think of a more delightful, delicious way to live than this? This is the better life. And I would challenge anybody to bring me a better life that has to do with looking to the Lord day by day, trusting him. It's powerful. It's very, very powerful. What I want to do this morning, I want us to pray a prayer of surrender to the Lord. More than anything else, I want to do that today because that's the essence of it. You want, I mean, if I know if I'm making progress, how surrendered am I? That's what it's about. And don't get into mind games. Am I surrendered? Maybe I'm not fully surrendered. Maybe I'm only half surrendered. Maybe. No, no, you're driving yourself crazy. You know whether you are or not. I know whether I am or not. Lord, do you have all of me? I want you to have all of me. I want you to work in my life more than anything else, that there would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, and the eyes of my heart enlightened, that I would see the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. And when I pray this prayer, I'm expecting something to happen. Oh, not necessarily sitting on the bench. But there is something, whenever somebody yields himself to the Lord and says, Lord, I believe that you're at work in me, working out my salvation. And secondly, I'm just going to wait on you as a way of life so that I just bring myself under there. He takes greater possession of me. I've done it. Have you done driving down the road? Just driving. Lord, just take total possession of me as we drive. Life doesn't get any different. Life is still difficult. How many know life is difficult, right? Life is difficult and painful. But the life that we live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. That's how it works. And I would love to pray for you a prayer that you would yield and I would yield, and that we would trust God to do that. We'd enter into the better life. And live out his own love in us. As he said, finally, now, I came to live within you that I could express heaven's love through you. And that's what we'll do all week long. We will surrender today. That's the that's the inside work. In order that God might accomplish the outside work when we go surrendered out the doors. Because we don't live here. Some of us live here, but you don't live here. You have homes, you have jobs. So as we pray for you, we're praying, Lord, for a full surrender here in order there would be an effectiveness as we go out, the love of the Lord coming through us wherever and however. And people would say, I smell Jesus in you. Whatever is happening in you, I want. I believe it's an attractive life. It's a seductive life. And it's not us trying. It's not us saying, oh, what a wonderful person that is. No, it's not that. It's Jesus expressing himself through the Spirit of God living in us. And this treasure in the earthen vessel is so right on, just so right on. So let's stand together. I think we have some musicians here, so they've got a song. Maybe we should sing it, and then we'll... from the dead dwells in you. Can you believe it? It's a full provision. It's a full salvation. Salvation is provided. Sanctification is provided. Thank you, God. Look, there's a sweet spirit in here this morning. There always is when we yield, when we surrender. Lord, with our hands lifted up to you, Even we don't do a very good job of this, but we say, have your way, Lord. Totally have your way, that you can live your life through us. And all that you want us to be and to do, you'll take responsibility for. What a Savior. Lord, it doesn't cause us to live loosely. It causes us to live yieldedly to you. We want to get as close as we can to wait on you, to get the vibrations of the Spirit. Lord, to have ourselves repossessed. And pray this week, Lord, when we're driving or when we're walking, when we're in business meetings, or whether we're dealing with children, or whether, Lord, we're at work somewhere in the garden or drinking coffee, Lord, whatever the life scenarios would be, I pray that you would just have your way expressing yourself through us. We give you thanks and praise.